Xbox the Box and Xbox Podcast. My name is Potato, I'm with my good friend, Alice. How you doing, Alice?
Hi, my pronouns are she, they, and back again because we're going to do our game of the year, so...
Yeah, so...
Same as last year, top five, and tally up all the points there.
Exactly. I was thinking we could also add the community vote to this, but I'm not sure. If you did, so we had the XMB Awards last week. We were wearing the same clothes because we literally just finished recording it in our time period, in our part of time, and we had our community vote, which you guys voted for. So if you want to find out what game won our community vote, go check out episode 76. This should be episode 77, I believe. And this is our top five games of the year. Ta-da! I have my top five.
The question is, are we doing highlights of each award like last year too?
I hope so. I mean, if people are watching this, they should know if there's highlights. I'm going to try my best to do highlights, but it's 11 awards to cut into separate things. But yeah, this should be our... So it's our overall game of the year. I have a top, 20... I got the GG app, which is a thing that you can keep tab of your games. So I've written down every game I've played this year. So I have 27, 28 games on my GG app that I've played this year, new games. And these are now in order... So I have a top 20, but we're just going to do our top fives because otherwise we'd be here all day. We've only got just about an hour to do all this. So, So do you want to go first or shall I go first?
Before we get that, you said a bit of the GG app and that's what you introduced to me.
Yes.
Well, apparently I haven't updated it over the year, so I'm like,
oops.
It's pretty much the most of what you expect from early this year, so never mind.
It's all right. And also you could use the IGN playlists app, but again, I fuck IGN. That's the previous episode, you'll know what I'm on about.
Not into IGN really. Yeah. Don't want to go follow that website. And besides, I don't really trust their reviews. I just rather trust Metacritic of what they have to say.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, so we got to do our top fives each. So I'll go, you do your five, I do my five, then four, then two, three, then two, then two, then one. Also, I was thinking when I got to my number one, I might just tell you what my top 10 is. So I might go, my number 10 would be this, 9, 8, 7, 6, because I've got it all written down anyway. So. Might as well just do it quickly off of hand, but we're going to do our top fives. Would you like to go first or would you like to go second? I do not mind.
I'm curious to know what your fifth one is.
Ooh, okay, so I'll go first. Okay, so my number five. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this one needs a bit of pretense. Do not get your pitchforks and set them on fire and try and kill me. My number five is a game that's only just come out on Xbox and will probably be a lot higher in a lot of your lists. It is Baldur's Gate 3. I love this game so far. I've only played it a couple of hours. Don't kill me. I know five is low, but there's a lot of really good games that didn't even make it into my top five. And I've not played this enough to really judge it, put it any higher yet. Come back to me in a month's time, it might be higher. I needed to put that out there into the world before people come after me and try and kill me and all that stuff. I've only just started playing it because it's only just come to Xbox. I'm an Xbox gamer, so bear that in mind. Please don't kill me.
You know,
don't hurt me.
The fact you put it at fifth does make me think what your entries for 1 through 4 is going to be like.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more interested to know than Baldur's Gate being at 5, which is relatable because you already played it for a few days.
Exactly.
So it's hard to formulate your opinion on it.
And also I wanted to mention as well that my number one is solid as a rock. That's not going anywhere. But my number 2 through 5, I think, could literally be in any order. Honestly, I think they're all really good games. And it's, yeah. But I put it at number 5 because it's the one I've played the least. And... I'm shocked that it knocked off Mario Wonder off the list. I'm just going to... Spoilers, number 6. that would have been, it was going to be Mario Wonder, and then I put Baldur's Gate in there instead because I enjoyed Mario Wonder, but it's not as good as like Odyssey or some other like Mario games. And Baldur's Gate 3 is by the first CRPG I've really gotten into so far, and I'm really enjoying it. I like the character building. I like, it reminds me of playing D&D with, when I used to work at Sky. So Sky is a, like a cable company here in the UK, for people who don't know. I used to work for Sky. I had a group of friends who all did D&D, and I did D&D for a little bit, and it's the only time I've ever really done it. And it was so much fun, and this just reminds me of playing D&D. I mean, Baldur's Gate is built off D&D. You got like the dice rolls and everything, and the characters are built the same way and everything like that. And if you want to try out D&D, this is the perfect gateway drug. This is the one to get you in to the D&D universe. If you want to try it out and get into it, pick up Baldur's Gate 3. Highly recommend it. I think it's really cool. One of my favorite games of the year, even though I've barely touched it. But I'm so far, I'm loving it. And I really want Shadow Heart to fall in love with me. And I also want Karlach to fall in love with me as well, because they are both awesome. And I like both those characters. What do you think?
Expectations for this game anyway. So I'm just playing it as it goes.
Yeah. Has Baldur's Gate made it into your list at all, or no? Do you have to tell me where, if it has?
Well, I think you have to find out.
Oh, okay. Ooh,
what's the
it.
Fun of, like, yeah.
No, I'm only asking because if it's in your list, we can talk about it more later. And we can just skip, we can move on to the next thing. That's all. That's all I was saying.
I think it's worth hearing out what my fifth entry is.
Okay. What is your number five?
Street Fighter 6.
Ooh, I was expecting you to see Baldur's Gate then. But no, Street Fighter 6, okay. Didn't make my top five, but is a very, very good fighting game. Yes, very good fighting game. I bought it on PS5 to play it with the PSP Trust guys, and they never played it with me. They don't like me. They don't like me. They don't want to play games with me. Anyway. Anyway, why is Street Fighter on your list?
Because it would not be in the list if it wasn't for the demo. So I wasn't willing to pay it full price, but I was able to try out the demo, and it's just for the single player campaign. But I have to say, single player campaign is what makes this game. And the actual Street Fighter formula seems to have improved and tried to be more accessible to new players as well.
Yeah.
And not only that, it looks very good. It has a neat style. Even though there's some like frame rate cuts, not drops, frame rate cuts to like 30 frames per second in some areas there. Mm-hmm. But you definitely get to customize your character, and you spend like time in this RPG like environment where you pick street fights with everyone. That's right. I mean, that's literally Street Fighter.
It's in the name of the game. You street fighted in Street Fighter. Who knew? Yeah, I played it quite a bit. I didn't play it as much as I should have, but I did. That was the mode I mainly played on as well. It's fun for sure.
Also, the fact that Tekken 8. It's coming out next year, and there's also like Mortal Kombat 1, which is not well received, and it just kind of treats Street Fighter 6 as if it's a ultimate game that uses an RE engine, gets a good graphics, and is really fun to play. And I would definitely prefer that. I mean, I haven't played Resident Evil 8 Remake, but I heard a lot of good things about it, and you also played it as well.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 remake, you mean? You said Resident Evil 8. Oh, yeah. I mean, I might as well just say it now. My number four is Resident Evil 4 remake. That was the next game on my list. And you didn't know, I'm assuming you didn't know that. It's just a coincidence. Yeah, so the RE engine is really good for Capcom, and it's really good. And Street Fighter 6, very good fighting game. I haven't played it enough to really justify putting it on my list, but I did appreciate it. I went to EGX, Electronic Gaming Expo in London with the PS Retrust guys, and we played a lot of Street Fighter before that game came out, and it was a lot of fun. The heel kicked my ass because they're all like really sweaty when it comes to Street Fighter. I'm just like, what's this button do?
Oh my gosh.
What's this button do? Can I punch with this one? And they're like, combo breaker. Like, okay. but I think that's the, if you ask the PSP Trust guys, they just put up their year in review on PlayStation, and I think Spencer's and Davey's top game of the year was Street Fighter. At least the game they played the most on their PlayStation was Street Fighter 6. So they all agree with you on that one, probably. So there you go. Resident Evil 4, my favorite horror game ever, and it has been remade. It is. My number four is Resident Evil 4. Remake! Yeah! I had to do the meme. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. They took one of my favorite games of all time from the GameCube, which I owned on GameCube, Xbox 360, Xbox One, owned it on my Switch, owned it on PC, and they managed to get that game and improve it. I don't even know how they did it. They like fixed like some of the like little issues with it and made it better. Made the story better, the acting was better, the graphics obviously were better. I adore it. It's a really good game. And then I actually went, I got round to playing the spin-off mode separate ways. I played that on Halloween. That was a lot of fun. And so like the DLC
is
really fun.
Is it called The Wrong Side?
It's the Separate Ways one, isn't it? Separate Ways with the Wong, with Ada Wong. my crush, who would have won the character I simped for, but I changed my mind. Ada Wong is awesome. The voice acting's not great for Ada Wong, but the Separate Ways DLC was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that as well. So Resident Evil 4 plus Separate Ways plus Mercenaries mode. That game is incredible. So much to do. Such a really fun game. I'm not a huge horror fan at all. Like I was saying about Baldur's Gate, I'm not a CRPG fan. I'm not a horror fan either. And the fact that these two are my top five is kind of crazy. Resident Evil 4, really good game. Solid action action horror game. Leon, help me, Leon! It's so funny.
You mean Mousely?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. No, Resident Evil 4 is so good with all
there's
the different
there's lots characters. Of memes that of memes. Has Ashley as a mouse.
Yeah, I'm right to see that one, yeah. but yeah, like, it's an amazing game. That's pretty much all I'm going to say. I don't know what else I can really say. Like, everyone knows Resident Evil 4 is a great game. It's one of the greatest games ever made. I mean, I don't know what else I can really say about that. Apart from, it's awesome.
Well, I'm a bit skeptical when it comes to considering remasters or remakes for top five, because otherwise there will be a lot of other games that you can put into it, like Metroid Prime, for instance.
Metroid Prime is my number eight.
Yeah. Well, I played the demo of Resident Evil 4, and I have to admit, it's just like really nice looking game, and it's definitely something that is worth checking out, so you should check it. You should get it, but because I haven't played it, only just a demo, I mean, I can see that many people would consider this to be a game of the year, but to me, it's just pretty much there. Like, if you haven't checked out Resident Evil 4 before, then this could be the best version for you to check out on, rather than like doing with the Wii Remake controls on the Wii version, or even the HD remakes.
Yes, yeah, definitely. The controls, they've much improved on the controls. Even though the controls were, at the time when they came out, they were like far superior to everything else, which is hilarious. And now they've like caught up. Everyone's caught up with it. Now they've improved again. If we're not allowed remakes, but move Baldur's Gate 3 up to 4 and then put Mario Wonder as my number 5. In fact, I'm not allowed to have a remake, but at the moment, Resident Evil 4 is my
number
4.
Well, I'm not saying... Well, I'm not saying you're not allowed. It's just saying I was skeptical.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much every bit as valid to put Resident Evil 4 Remake on, like, fourth spot.
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's such a good game. Like, as I said, it's my favourite horror game of all time, like, already. And this year is crazy because this is my number 4. Baldur's Gate is my number 5. And it's like, there's games that didn't even make it into this top 5. and that are all really good. I could see Resident Evil 4 and another year being my game of the year for sure. I could see Baldur's Gate 3 being my game of the year another year as well. It's crazy how stacked this year's been. So yeah, that's my number four. What is your number four, Alice?
Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Ooh. You haven't finished it, have you? You haven't got back to it yet.
No. Right. And I adore this game. I would have enjoyed it so much. Like, you managed to convince me to get the game for the Switch. And it's definitely the best way to check out on the Switch OLED if you can get it. Because
yeah.
I got a limited edition Zelda Switch OLED, nice. Which I got. And I think it's really special. When I bought it from like Curry's because I delivered it over there, someone came to gave the package to me and said, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous you got something like that.
Me too.
Because this is pretty much a sought after version of it. Yeah.
I'm jealous. But, you don't even like the game as much as me. It's not fair.
Well,
sorry.
I got the OLED Switch, and I ended up spending more time on retro games with it.
Oh.
So, but I should really ought to like get fed more of those games. So I really need to check it out. But instead, I've been playing like Contra, Gradius 2, and even like I don't know if I tried. Oh yeah, I tried some Mega Drive games on it as well. So
nice. So really, but Sonic 1 or Sonic 2 is your game of the year, really, but we can't count them.
No, that's not what I mean. Because Legend is the reason I put it in the top five, because it's not to do with, you may think it's a bit of a peer pressure, but yeah. I have to admit, it is something I commend the creators for bringing this sequel out. And it turned out really good.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just another sequel to Breath of the Wild, like with Majora's Mask. But as it turns out, it turned out pretty well done. And it took years to get this done. Mm-hmm. So you have, like, not you have just the main world. You also have two other panes of the world.
Yeah.
And it just allows for more opportunities, allowing for more quests and even some random encounters you can deal with. And I heard that if you go in the dark world, it just turns into more like Dark Souls, isn't it?
Oh yeah. So yeah, you got the sky world, you got Hyrule, and then you've got the underground. And the underground, yeah, is brutal. That's where all the baddies are. And it's so, yeah, and it's like pitch black, so you gotta try and light it up as you explore the map, and it's really cool. And like each temple is connected to the underworld with another, like, a light pillar. So you could, basically, if you find a light pillar, you'll find a temple and vice versa. And stuff like that is really cool. It's, like, all connected. It's almost like it's a reverse of the overworld. It's like the overworld, but upside, like, they've, like, inverted it. It's essentially what the underground is, which is really cool. Awesome game. Awesome game. I'm a little spoiler. I'm probably going to talk about it a lot more in a bit. But later on in the podcast, I'm going to talk about this a lot more, I imagine.
Well, I can. You reminded me of the more of the good points with it is that at the beginning, you have this section that is based in the Sky Island and you can't fall down. So you had to go through all the three temples and then you go down to Hyrule, and that's where the good fun part of the game is, where you get to explore and find out ways. But one of the mechanics is that you can have this special arm that allows you to use objects. Yeah. And I think the abilities you come with it, that is really cleverly done.
Oh,
you
yeah.
build stuff with it, you like interact with certain objects, and you even build baits with it. And I have to say, it demonstrates a lot of those abilities to you when you begin the game. And it's just what really makes it a really fun experience before it thrusts you into the open world.
Yeah.
So you can already tell there's some good level design, especially when you get to the temples. It's pretty much like tests to see how much you learn about the abilities.
Exactly.
And what you can do to like try to solve them. I just think it just takes the Nintendo's experience from all the games they've built over the years and poured it with a lot of passion into this project, where it gives you a choice of where you can like explore, learn about new things and how you deal with the game.
Yeah.
And then eventually you take it to the Dark World to see how much you have proven yourself as a huge warrior. And it's also a very long game as well.
Yep.
All of this being fit into this single game that's usually on a game that doesn't have a huge hard drive is an impressive achievement.
Oh, yeah.
And this really goes in the top five.
For sure. For sure. The fact that this game can run on a Switch and it doesn't, it's not as... Like, you'd imagine a game like this to be a buggy mess, then you'd think you'd have massive frame drops and all that with the amount of stuff that you can do in this game. Like, you can build spaceships, you can build cars, you can build weapons, you can, like, build mechs. And it never lags, or very rarely lags, and it runs on a tablet that's, like, 5-6 years old. It's insane how... It's magic. I don't know how they've done this. I don't know how this game is even feasibly made. I don't know how they did it. Is like a feat of engineering, to be perfectly honest. It's incredible. So that's your number four, yeah?
Yep.
And this is my number three. My number three is Hi-Fi Rush. I love this game. It is so good. It would be my surprise of the year. The shadow dropping of this is incredible. It was my favorite game of like the first couple of months of the year for sure. It was really good. It's really up there. The level where you get shot out of a cannon and you end up in like the cafeteria area, and then you have the Prodigy music kicking in. That's like my favorite. That's one of my favorite gaming moments of the year. It's just like the music, the action, the setting, just everything. It's like this is like just perfect. It's just so good. The art style is beautiful. The gameplay is more fun than God of War Ragnarok, and I'm going to keep saying it. I don't care who annoys, because it is the better hack and slash game. And it's just, the characters are really likable. The world, the setting is really interesting and fun. And I hope they do a Hi-Fi Rush 2. And I'm sure they will, because like, it's been a massive success. And my lighting just turned off. There you go.
So, when you said about that scene, and it was the best moment. Definitely agree. And it's like really one of the best moments of the game.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I used a couple of the scenes from there. And you know, there's a robot that uses like coconut apparatus.
Yes.
I used it for the Pancake Day video.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yeah. And also, we memed the shit out of this game at the beginning of the year, didn't we? This is like when our channel was just growing and we started up and we were moving on to this channel, Hi-Fi Rush was like our main source of like videos. We made so many videos about Hi-Fi Rush. We love that game. It is like, it kind of ties back to the Xbox the Box. Whenever I think of Xbox the Box, I think of Hi-Fi Rush for sure. It's right up there. Such a good game. Oh my god. I love it. Well, any other year be game of a year for sure.
It's definitely a huge shadow drop, and it could be the most successful shadow drop of all time.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
Funny enough, when we saw it in the reaction of the developer showcase, we went from like, is it Wi-Fi Rush?
Yeah.
It went from that to high five.
Five, right? Yeah, I mean, I gave this a 9 out of 10. I think I'm probably stand by that. Maybe even move it up to a 10 out of 10, possibly. This is one of the best games on Xbox. One of the best Xbox exclusives. I think this should be a system seller. If you haven't got an Xbox or a PC, get an Xbox, get this game, and get my number two as well. There's some other games. Xbox has got some great games on it, and Hi-Fi Rush is awesome, and it's on Game Pass, and just play it. It's so good. It's awesome.
Unless you're hawking your PC and you've got the controller hooked up to it, which in that case you can get on the PC.
Yeah, for sure. And the only downside I would say about it is that I played through it and there's not much like replay value, I guess. I mean, that you can do New Game Plus and stuff, but it's not... Yeah, that's the only thing I would say negative about it. But really, it's a small team who made it. It's almost like an indie game, even though it is published by Xbox. I would love to see more from these guys. And the fact that it won a Game Award for Best Sound was really cool as well. I was really happy to see that. It deserved it. And great game. Great game. Love it.
Well, bear in mind that Tango Gameworks has been working on like Ghostwire Tokyo as well as Evil Within.
Yes.
So
this is like when Obsidian released Grounded or Pentiment is like that kind of level, you know, it's like a smaller thing from a big developer, which is cool. I want Xbox to do more. I like Xbox having Grounded, Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment on their system, which are all made by big developers but with small teams. Do more of that. I love that. I absolutely adore that. And I'm hoping we get to see some more stuff like that next year. Some more like small games made by like really like talented developers. I would love to see more. Yeah, that'd be dope. I would love that. More Hi-Fi Rush, please. Or more stuff similar to Hi-Fi Rush. I'm totally more for Hi-Fi Rush 2 is going to be like amazing. I can just tell already, because if they smashed it out of the park first time. And if they have a bigger budget and a bigger team to make the Hi-Fi Rush 2, and it's got more support and like more promotion and all that, it's gonna be awesome. I can't wait.
Hopefully it won't take another 6 years to do.
Yeah, that's the only problem with game design at the moment. It takes a while. Yeah. See, that is my number three. What is your number three?
Super Mario Wonder.
Yay!
The reason I went for that is because this one is pretty much an offshoot of the new Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. Only they did well with the visuals.
Yeah.
The levels doesn't expect you to do all the levels, because the progression is just like it expects you to stick to the main progression and you go through all the levels. And then the other levels that you can try out, it's pretty much there if you want a bigger challenge. Apart from that, it's just like the game is really simple. It's something that brings people together. And also the Wonder Flower segments are like really trippy.
Oh,
I find them like really entertaining, which I was kind of hoping I would play more of Super Mario Wonder, possibly throughout Christmas.
Yeah.
My partner now is just like, yeah, it's just turned out so good.
It's
really good design. And it feels like the next generation of Mario by some stretch. So yeah. I have to admit, it does actually work as another Mario game. And it's also a surprise because it came out like announced during Nintendo Direct this year. And I'm like, oh, is this another one of those games? And it turns out to be quite such a huge hit. So this... I find it more fun than Zelda. Sorry. I mean, I could have like checked out with Zelda there. So my opinion may change. Yeah. Zelda is like, a lot more involved and you spend loads of hours into it. But if you don't have a lot of time or you're living with people you can play games with, you may find Super Mario Wonder to be quite a better game for you if you have a Switch.
I mean, Mario Wonder is my number six. So, I mean, as I said, it got bumped off the list by Baldur's Gate. I love this game a lot. Oh, it's really cool. The Wonder Seeds are brilliant. Like, one of the first Wonder Seeds where the piranha plants just start singing and dancing. I'm like, what is this game? And I love it. It's like they've managed to make a new 2D Mario game that doesn't feel derivative of Super Mario Bros. And also... doesn't feel like unnecessary, because like you got Super Mario Maker and stuff. You think Super Mario Maker is like, oh, why would I ever need another 2D Mario game ever again after Mario Maker came out? But this one justifies its existence, and it's really well done. I love the setting. I like the Bowser becomes a giant castle that floats around. It's hilarious. And I like I played the whole game as Luigi because I always use Luigi. Luigi's my favorite. I love the game. I love it a lot. So this is your number three, isn't it? So I can totally see why it's your number three. It could have quite easily got into my top three as well, or top five. I just bumped it out, but I really love it. I love it a lot. I'm not going to lie. I don't really have any issues with it. I like the multiplayer as well, because you've got like it's not as intrusive as in like New Super Mario Bros. Like New Super Mario Bros, you'd have people like knocking you off the stage and stuff, whereas you don't really get that with this one. You got like they go through each other, which is much better. I prefer that. And it's like Mario Wonder feels like Mario. Like, it feels like a 3D Mario turned into 2D, if that makes any sense. Like, it feels like an Odyssey or a Galaxy. You've got, like, lots of exploring and cool, like, little hidden things in each level. And it's wonderful. I mean, the name sums it up. It's wonderful. it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, that's a good pick. Is there anything else you want to say before I move on to my number two?
Go ahead.
Number two is the greatest
Zelda.
My number two is the greatest 7 out of 10 ever made. It is Starfield.
Oh, Starfield.
I love Starfield so much. Go on, what are you saying?
I thought you were going to pick it as number one, so...
No, you'll find out. I think we already know what my number one is, but we'll get to that. My number two is Starfield. I love Starfield. It is such a good game. Building ships, Marion and Elijah and Sarah. the gameplay is fun. I just love exploring. I've still got more I could do in it, and I've beaten all 4 factions. I've got loads of ships. I've got all the achievements apart from one. I gotta get to level 100, which I'm still. That's my last achievement. I need to get it. But I'm very excited for the Chatham Space expansion when it comes out. I'm excited by the fact that Todd Howard and Xbox have said that they're going to keep building on this game for the next 10 years. Like you were saying about Cyberpunk earlier, I would love to see a Cyberpunk glow up for this game in 3 years' time. I want to see where this game is in 3 years, you know? So, Starfield 2.0 with the Shattered Space expansion and all that's going to be incredible. But I absolutely adore this game as it is. I've spent too long on this game. We were talking about, I was saying earlier on about the year review, all you can get on PlayStation or on Xbox. I played my PS5 for 53 hours this year. I played Starfield for over 200 hours. So I played one game on my Xbox 4 times as much as I played my PS5 in total. That's insane. This game, it took over my life for a good month and a half, and I feel like Baldur's Gate's going to do the same now. But it was such an incredible game, and it's the first Bethesda RPG I've ever finished, and it's my favourite Bethesda RPG, as much as I loved Skyrim and Fallout 3 and New Vegas and all that. This is the one that really got this hooks into me. I'm a big science fiction nut. I love sci-fi. If you said you're going to pick between Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, I'm picking Star Wars. I'm more of a sci-fi person than a fantasy person. I love the setting. I love being my own version of Han Solo or Star-Lord. You know, being my own pilot of my own spaceship and my own crew and exploring the galaxy. It's just the coolest thing ever. I love Starfield. And any other year, it would probably be my game of the year. But this year, it's my number two. I'll explain more in a bit. But have you had anything to talk about when it comes to Starfield?
I don't want to say too much about it, but the way I see it, the way he explained it, it just feels like it's a Michael Bay's approach to games. Okay. That no matter what of those games come out, it's going to get worse and worse in terms of reception.
Yeah, I feel like the toxic reception of the fan base has really ruined it a little bit, which sucks. I feel like as I said in our previous episode, I was doing the poll for our game of the year, and people were shitting on Starfield. I'm like, you don't like the game, fine. Do you have to shit on it all the time? I don't understand what all... People hate... there's some people who, really hate this game, and I just don't know why. It's like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Just go play something else. I don't understand it. I really enjoyed it.
Like Spider-Man 2.
Which only took me 30 hours to complete, and then I'm probably just collecting dust now. And spoiler alert, it's not in my top 10. It's in my top 10, but it's not in my top 5. Sorry, Spider-Man. I enjoyed Spider-Man. It's my favourite PlayStation game of all time. Well, my favourite PlayStation 5 game so far is Spider-Man 2. And it's not in my top 5. Starfield, on the other hand, it's my number 2, and I love it. I love this game. It's so good. I love it so much. When I married Sarah, and then I went into New Game Plus, where I had to lose everything and start over, I was heartbroken. I was like, oh, but I love Sarah. Sarah's so cool. I'm going to miss her so much. And then I started over, and then I eventually moved on, but it was a really emotional moment. And then, like, I just love the way they do New Game Plus in this game. I love the combat and the world building. I love the setting, the characters. You know, I love the backstories. Like, there's still so much to do in it, and there's still so much more they can expand on. I love it. And I feel like, fuck IGN. That's what I'm going to say. Assuming it's 7 out of 10. Screw you, IGN. I hate you. You're not my real father. Okay, anyway. Starfield, love it. And any other year, it would probably be my game of the year. But this year, didn't quite make it. But it's my number 2. And I really love it. And yeah, there you go. So, Alice, what is your number 2?
Baldur's Gate 3.
Ooh, wow. You've only just started playing it. That's impressive. I love it.
I'm already loving it, and I can tell, like, this is a Game of the Year material. In fact, when it was, like, talked about and whether it's going to come out this year, I was like, oh, I just seen the cutscenes on YouTube and wonder what the fuss is about, because this is a sequel to Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate came out in 1998, and Baldur's Gate 2 came out in 2000. Oh, wow. I have heard of the name before, but I haven't really checked out this game to a certain level. But when I saw clips of Baldur's Gate 3, it's like you do dice rolls, you do turn-based interactions, and I'm like, oh, wow. So this is literally like XCOM done with a Dungeons & Dragons handbook. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. Impressive. When I went in, the world is really complicated and you're not expected to learn straight away, so you just try to get to process everything, and that's before you get to the later acts where you discover the main plot of a story.
Yeah,
but it just kind of makes you want to think as if you don't have to worry about the plot and instead deal with what's presented in front of you. And I've already seen why this game gets loved so much, because it seems like as if you're playing the Dungeons & Dragons game. Like, yeah. I did get in my first Dungeons & Dragons game, it just seems like you try to discuss and make decisions on how to go next.
Yeah.
I was like, I was checking through the shop and I was told, like, are you going to get back? Are you with them or are you going to leave? So I left and I got back to it. And it just seems as if it has consequences to your actions. Being Baldur's Gate 3, it's just like, any decisions you make, you can just relay the save. But it just seems whichever path you take, it's just going to lead to something else. Yeah. And if you're not careful, you get into battle and you have to be really careful to play this. There's a bit like, so it definitely has this huge XCOM 2 vibe to it. Yeah. Only it just, instead of focusing on the risk, it just focuses on the flexibility and makes your decisions matter so much. I only have put a lot of hours into it because it could have been considered number one if I did play it a lot on, say, the PC or on the PlayStation 5, and this came out on the Xbox straight away. Mm-hmm. Because there's a steep learning curve. It may take days for you to deal with it. And also there's a part of a game's plot and makes you think as if you don't have a lot of time, which turns out it's actually all part of the plot, and right. You can like spend as much time as you can to get through this game, so you definitely like get to learn a lot doing act one.
Yeah.
And not only that, the plot is very complex.
Yeah,
but you still end up like having a lot of characters that are like complicated, doesn't overly respect you. Sometimes they just want to fight you and get into those battles. So yeah. You really have to be careful about what decisions you make. And you also have dice rolls. Also, it's got a lot of funny moments. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's dice rolls, and sometimes you do some embarrassing fails. And there's some like quirky characters as well. Like, you almost get bitten by a vampire if you sleep in a camp.
Yes.
But without going, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the vampire. I was going to say, who's, like, so I have a couple of questions for you, really. So Do you save scum when it comes to dice rolls then? Because I've been sticking to whatever the dice rolls land on, and I haven't gone back and re-rolled dice or anything. Maybe I will, like, if it's a more serious consequences involved, but I mean, what do you save scum? Do you reload your save when if you roll the wrong, if you roll a one or whatever?
I don't.
No.
I just relay the save if my crew's got their ass kicked. Like,
oh, yeah,
one time I was going around, meet this one of these mind frayers, and you just try not to get pulled in.
Yeah.
So I tried to do the decisions there, had dice rolls, and then like, oh no, I just got my main character killed, and it turns out the mind frayer just ended up killing both of my, the rest of my team.
Oof.
It was like, oh no. God. Yeah. So I just relayed the save, got killed by the walking brains, until I realized you had to step back into the light and then kill them that way. So it just seems like as if the battle is not the case of like random battles. You just have to figure out and careful not to be too reckless when it comes to dealing with those battles. But I think the environment, the challenge, and even the level design is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And it's a definite kind of game that you just gets you more absorbed into this whole thing. But it's also the kind of game that you don't want to spend too much time in it. You just want to take it easy and get to unpack. Everything with it.
Yeah, fair enough. You kind of froze a little bit, but I think I caught all of that. Yeah, I love this game so much. It is really fun. I've only played like 8 hours though, so I can't judge it too much. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with everything you've said there when it comes to this game. I can see why it's won Game of the Year, to be honest. I can see why it won a lot of the Game of the Year awards. I think it's great. I really like it. So who's your party at the moment? Do you know who your team? I got Karlach, Shadowheart, and Gale is my team at the moment.
Sounds like you mentioned like fifth of six companions, because I haven't got to that game yet.
Oh yes,
because at the moment I got Astrid, whatever his name is.
Vampire. I got Astrid. Yeah.
I got the sorcerer. I think that guy's called Gale.
Gale. Yeah.
So I've also got the half orc at some of the beginning of the K. But I also got Shadowheart as well.
What's her name? Liara? I can't remember. People are going to be really mad at us in the comments because they don't know their names. I'm sorry, we only just started playing. But yeah, yes. I was going to have like a harem. I was just going to have all women with me. But then I decided I'm going to keep Gale because he's kind of a bro. I really like Gale.
Some of the spells
like,
yo.
I like Gale. Gale's cool.
Also, I find the speaking to animals to be one of the most fun things you can do in the game.
Yeah.
And that's why I picked a class that guarantees you to have a speak for animals at the very start. So yeah. I've been talking to squirrels and oxes when I haven't got to the part where I've been like talking with cats. And that's what got me more interested in the game.
I think I can unlock animal husbandry as well. I think that's something I can do as well, because I'm an orc, I'm half orc. I love this game as well. I don't know what else I can say. This is my new addiction. So I'm pretty sure your number one isn't Starfield. So I'm just going to say, is this your, out of the RPGs this came out this year, before Starfield came out, you were very excited. Does this basically fill what you thought Starfield should have been? Do you think this is like the RPG that should have come out by Xbox? Do you prefer this? Obviously, I assume you do.
How about put it this way? Because like I was discussing with my friend, what they said, which I agree with, is that if you're playing Starfield, you're playing a Bethesda game. If you're playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, you're playing this 3D Zelda game.
Yeah.
But Baldur's Gate 3 is unique. It has very different rules, even though it's based on Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of game what you expect to see in the RPG game is not often what you expect. And it just gives you a very different feel, which is why it takes longer for you to learn everything in this game. So I just feel that I wasn't even expecting Baldur's Gate 3 to come around at all. Like, if it came out on Game Pass,
yeah,
it would have been drastically different. But this is a full price game, and I would have hesitated to buy it like any others. And yet, I did manage to buy the Super Mario Wonder, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Advance Wars 1 and 2, which is also a very good game we didn't even mention. Mm-hmm. I played, put a lot of hours into it, but still not in my top five. But yeah, it's just pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, I think this game is really... I agree with a lot of that, Steph. As I said earlier, I prefer sci-fi to fantasy, so I think I slightly prefer Starfield, and I like building spaceships and stuff like that, but Baldur's Gate is really good, and it's one of my favourite... It's the first CRPG I've really gone into, and we've got to play co-op at some point. I think that's going to be maybe we're going to try and do that over the Christmas period at some point. We're going to definitely try the co-op out. I think that'll be fun, for sure.
You keep saying CRPG. What's that for?
It means computer RPG, which I know, obviously, it's not on a computer. It's on Xbox and PlayStation now, but it's essentially the origin of those type of games are on PC, essentially. So it's almost like a Western RPG that you meant to use a mouse and keyboard to be the most efficient with, essentially. I think that's what
Isn't this the same with like the Fallout series?
Because I suppose it began
the CRPGs.
I think
I would say this one is more of a Dungeons and Dragons RPG.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes these terms don't make any sense, to be perfectly honest. But that's the term that I've heard about this. So this, I've not played an RPG like this. We'll just say that. It's just an easy way of putting it. It's not the type of game I would normally play. I like turn-based strategy, like XCOM or Tactica or Fire Emblem and all that. So it kind of has that. And I like RPGs with story like Mass Effect and Starfield and stuff like that, where you can talk to NPCs. So I should like this game. So I do like this game. This game's fun. So come back to me next month. Baldur's Gate's probably going to go right up my list, but it's still my number five, and Starfield's my number two because I love it.
So what's your number one then?
Well, so before we get to my number one, I just want to just do some honorable mentions real quick. So my top 10, Persona 5 Tactica is my number 10. Then, Like a Dragon, The Man Who Raised His Name is my number 9. Then, Metroid Prime Remastered is my number 8. Number 7 is Spider-Man 2. Then, Super Mario Wonder. Then, we got to our normal top 5, which we've already seen. Baldur's Gate, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Hi-Fi Rush, Starfield. And my number 1 game of the year is The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, because it's bloody amazing. And I know it didn't win a Game of the Year award in the Game Awards, because it is a fantastic game, and it is a technical masterpiece. And the fact that you can have this game running on a Switch and it doesn't drop frames and it runs perfectly and it has free worlds, and I love it. I love it so much. This is your number 4, right?
It is my number 4, but it's a good choice anyway, because you were looking forward to this game, and and I was blown away by how well received it is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it didn't get a huge reception, I would not have checked out this game at all. But then I checked it out because I know this is going to be a full Game of the Year material, and I pretty much have enough to say that this is a well-designed game. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, certainly sure.
It's my not only this is my number one game of the year, this might be my favorite game of all time. It's up there. It's really up there, honestly. Breath of the Wild was my favorite game of all time, and this is just Breath of the Wild but better. It's like a better version of Breath of the Wild in every way conceivable. So it's my number one with a bullet. This is like it's not even close. As I said, number one was Tears of the Kingdom, and then literally Starfield, Hi-Fi Rush, Resident Evil 4, Baldur's Gate, Super Mario, all those games could have been in my top five, but Zelda was my number one, and it always has been my number one, and it hasn't moved at all. It is so it's like the perfect game. It is so fantastic. The world, the settings, it's the music, the gameplay, like building like Beyblades, building rockets, building cars, and then like exploring the dark depth, the depths of the underground, exploring the skies, checking out the temples, meeting the champions again, and having them like team up with you and stuff. Oh my god, it's just so such an amazing game. I love it so much. I've been meaning to do it. I'm really waiting for like a new game plus to come out, but I don't think they're gonna do one. So I think I just might just start a new game on a new playthrough, because I've got every shrine, I've done every like pillar, I've done every boss. I've literally pretty much 100% in this game. I love this game so much, and it is a masterpiece. It's just a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. It's incredible, and. I like Baldur's Gate a lot. It just annoys me it came out this year, because I feel like Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom didn't get the flowers it deserved. It deserved to win a lot more awards this year, and it deserves a lot more credit. I think it's an absolutely incredible feat of gaming engineering, an incredible game, and I love it so much. I love it so much with all my heart. It's my favourite game of all time already, and that's all I can really have to say about it. It's just... Mwah. Chef's kiss. I don't know what else to say. It's just so good. 10 out of 10. 11 out of 10. Masterpiece. Never going to play a game as good as this ever again, I don't think. Personally. So that's my game of the year.
Yeah, I'm glad you went for this decision, because I think this is a game that we can definitely agree on. And it also is a technical achievement for the Switch. Oh, yeah. So I have to say, yeah, this is a pretty solid game, and yeah, I mean, if we're going to pick it as our both of the game of the year, it could well be Zelda, but then we'll just have to find out when we tally up all the points.
Oh yeah, we haven't done that yet. We'll have to do that. But yeah, I was like, because you thought Starfield was going to be my number one. I love Starfield. I think Starfield's great, but Zelda's just better. I know it's comparing apples and oranges. It is apples and oranges here, but I feel like Zelda is just perfect. I have no criticisms at all for this game. I can find flaws in Starfield, like, oh, you need to patch this, you should add this, they should change like this certain thing, or add this mechanic, or remove this mechanic, like overcumbrance and all this shit. They should get rid of that. Zelda, I can't think of anything I hate about that game. I think that game is perfect. I honestly do think it is the perfect game, and is probably my favorite game of all time, up there with Halo 3, Super Mario 64, and Pokemon Red and Super Mario Bros. 3. Like, that's like my top five games of all time, and Zelda's there. It's right up there. It's right up there, and I don't know. I love it so much, and I wish there was a new game plus. I wish they were going to make DLC for it. I hope they do that. That's probably my only negative, is that I want to play more of it, and I've already kind of devoured it. I've devoured this game. I'm completely like, I want more. Yeah. Give me more, well, Nintendo.
Last year, you picked Elden Ring as your number one game.
Oof, yeah.
This year, Tears of the Kingdom is like slipping Elden Ring underneath the Breath of the Wild. There is pretty much breath for fresh air.
Hey. Elden Ring was like an improvement on Breath of the Wild, and then Tears of the Kingdom was an improvement on Breath of the Wild as well. You can't really... I mean, like, Elden Ring is amazing as well, don't get me wrong. And it's probably top fan game of all time, Elden Ring, but Zelda. Come on, Zelda. It's so good. And it's on a bloody Switch! Like, this is the thing that blows my mind, is that I love Starfield, but it runs a few frames per second on a brand new Xbox Series X. It's like a state-of-the-art games console, and it still has frame drops, it still has bugs and glitches. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is running on an old, ancient tablet that can barely run most games, and it is flawless and beautiful. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm sorry, I'm gushing. But I just love it so much. I love it so much. Speaking of my gushing over my favorite games of all time, or my favorite game of the year, what is your game of the year?
Well, my number one, as you mentioned about the numbers 6 to 10, I didn't even realize you mentioned this, as I had some honorable mentions. But this will come after number one, so because I think it's worth like hearing out why I picked as a game of the year.
Okay.
So,
drum roll.
I thought it would be decided at one time because of a cat thing, but over the years, I thought there's going to be much better games throughout the year, but I think neither one of them's going to ever compare to this number one, so I'm choosing Hi-Fi Rush. Last year, Pokemon Legends Arceus still missed this game and it's good winter warmer, but Hi-Fi Rush is definitely a really fantastic game, and I have really good reasons for it. When it was announced to me, I was like, I was kind of skeptical about the visuals, but it did the visuals very well. I know that the people have been comparing it with Forspoken in terms of dialogue, it just turned out so well. You love the characters, and it has a lot of fun gags with it.
Yeah.
But what really sets it apart is it's a hack within hack and slash, meaning you really have to time your hits in order to do more damage. It's not like Rhythm Heaven where you have to hit on the beat every time, but instead it's done so that you can play hack and slash Bombly, but you have to time your beats in order to get more points and more damage against enemies.
Oh yeah.
As you're saying, it doesn't have a lot of replay value, but I think it's the whole gameplay experience is what makes it really fantastic.
Yeah.
And it feels more like a PlayStation 2 game, but that's in a good way, because I haven't had any games that is like got a decently sized campaign, something you can enjoy to go through, and you have collectibles as well. And whereas the recent games, it's like you're expecting them to like put so much content, so much huge graphics, but Hi-Fi Rush, it sticks to the simplicity and focuses on innovation, and I feel this is the greatest strength of this whole game.
Yes.
So, and I still remember like Chai 808, Peppermint, Corsica, and there's also like Cinnamon, and I think it was the, I'm sure I need to remember the names based on like different flavors of tea. Is it Macaron or some sort?
Macaron, yeah, that's it. Macaron, yeah, Macaron.
Perfect. Yeah, almost forgot his name.
Oh, he's so good, yeah. All the characters in that game are great. I was like, it's like, it gives me like, it's, I mean, a very good pick. Just to throw that out there, right there. I knew that as soon as you said Baldur's Gate number two, I was like, all right, number one's Hi-Fi Rush. I knew it was gonna be Hi-Fi Rush. I knew it. I had a feeling it was gonna be number one. Great cast of characters. The world's really interesting. The gameplay is great. I keep saying it, and I know it pisses people off, but it's better than God of War Ragnarok in my opinion. If you're playing a hack and slash game, I prefer to play that. I prefer to play Hi-Fi Rush over God of War personally. It reminds me of like Scott Pilgrim, like it gives me that kind of vibe. It's like funny, but also the characters are really endearing and cool, and the setting's awesome, and the boss fights are really cool, and just everything about it, the music, the set, everything. If Starfield and Zelda didn't come out this year, this would definitely be my game of the year for sure. Like it's a really good game. I love it so much. And it deserves all the praise that it is getting. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, we discussed this earlier as well. I mean, it is a great game. I love Hi-Fi Rush so much.
And it's so good that we used to promote this for many months. We came up with so many memes and it grew our channel. And it shows how much we respect Hi-Fi Rush as much as everyone else. And not only that, one of our memes did manage to reach over 30,000 views. So it's pretty a huge game.
We love it.
And even people are saying that this, along with Dave the Diver, is like one of the top games of the year. But I think now after we play, been playing Baldur's Gate 3, I think our opinions might be swayed to, towards this whole game. And yeah. I think there's definitely reasons why it's good. Because if I spent more hours into Baldur's Gate 3, that could have been my number one. But instead, right. it's
same.
Hi-Fi Rush takes the whole top spot. So, yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah, no, I agree with everything you've just said. So, Hi-Fi Rush, fantastic game. I think, I'm doing the maths in my head, I'm thinking that's probably going to be our overall, I imagine. We'll do the maths in a minute.
Well, if you could, if you could do the maths, yeah. I will do some honourable mentions as well because
right. Well,
I don't really have.
Can you write? I'm gonna write down your top five so I can do the maths because I don't. I gotta try to remember it now. So your number five was Mario, wasn't it?
Well, no, it's just hang on a minute.
You just
we're
post
so
it.
Prepared for this.
Sorry, I'm gonna do some maths. So fifth place will get 1 point. Fourth place will get
2 plus
2
is 4. Simple math.
Yeah. So fifth will get 1. Fourth will get 2. Third will get 3. Second will get 4. And first will get 5. And then we got to add
so
it together.
Wait, now, if you just do those maths there,
quick maths.
I'll do some. Didn't realize it's existed this year. Advance Wars 1 and 2.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, it did not get mentioned as much as I hoped, but it is a very solid remake of Advance Wars 1 and 2, and I kind of stopped the halfway through the Advance Wars 2 campaign, but I did find, like, it's really nice. The art style could have been a little bit better, but then it's still really impressive for the Switch game, and it offers hours upon hours of gameplay as well as doing different strategies, so I really do enjoy it, and that is definitely in the list. I haven't played Resident Evil 4 Remake, otherwise it could it's be awesome. In my top 10, so that's a bit of a questionable thing. But I don't know, it's just I think there were some many considerations, but I haven't really played as many games as last year, but I've also paid for games full price this year as well. But the other mentions are that Pizza Tower is an honourable mention because it's the closest thing to Wario Land 4, but it is fun. It looks really good for the art style, and it's definitely one of those games that you wish they will come out on the Switch and Xbox. Because it's just such an amazing game, and it has a ton of replay value to gain huge ranks, and even discovering a lot of secrets as well. Even though it's a bit tricky at first, because I've been playing it with a controller, and it's just like quite tricky to get through. But as for Starfield, I think it's fair to say that since you brought up top 10, I would say it would be in top 10 anyway, but I was thinking that this could have been the game of the year for me, but after I played it for 200 hours, I feel it's not the right time to be able to play Starfield because there's a lot of problems with it. That I was unlucky enough to encounter a lot of bugs and glitches with it, and there's some like a lot of issues that even makes me uncomfortable playing the game for too long. Like some poor optimizations and even some like frequent crashes when you spend too many hours into it, which is why that when you get to the new game plus, it feels like a relief because you get rid of all the junk associated with it. But yeah. If it comes in like 5 years, it gets better. But unfortunately, many people are starting to feel like they're dropping out of the game because, you know, the people who have been working on Skyrim co-op thing where you get to do multiplayer Skyrim.
Yes.
People have managed to take the code over to Starfield, and then they decided that is a crap game, so they cancel the mod for it.
I don't think that's fair, really. But okay, I mean that's just like harsh thing to say. I don't think it's a crap game at all. I really liked it, but we disagree on this one, and it's fair. I think it's one of those games that's very marmite. You either love it or you hate it, don't you? With Starfield, I don't think a lot if it's it's debatable. And I understand your opinion, but I personally love it personally. But I get it.
Well, your opinion too. Well, there is a lot of good stuff with it. Like, some of the quest lines are fun. I really enjoy the shipbuilding, and I was really proud of the creations I made, which is why I'm hoping the DLC gives out more ship part. And there's even like many moments that you just feel like you go through, explore the planets, and have many surprises. But eventually, that when you play so much of it, you start to see the flaws, and then you realize there's outposts that are very buggy. So it just makes me feel that with Starfield, it's a game that you can tell that a lot of work has been spent on the exploration of all the planets.
Yeah.
Like, it says, like, it has loads of planets, which makes me feel like, oh gosh, it's going to have a lot of bugs in it. And yet, it does have bugs, but it's not that numerous. But some of them, it can be game-breaking as well. So it's just going to be a very extremely ambitious game for what is otherwise the game that has a Bethesda loop. If you enjoy the games that has a Bethesda loop, you will enjoy it.
Yeah.
I played Skyrim Special Edition on the Xbox Series X. I enjoy it. Went into Starfield. Really enjoyed it. Very addictive. And I love the effort that's being put into environments. But it has yet to live up to Starfield and it needs to have a lot of updates to make it much better. But unfortunately, it's a game that kind of missed a mark and didn't end up in the top five in the end because, like, I don't want to sound as if I'm, like, biased with all the hate around it.
Yeah.
But I just feel that I wasn't really that comfortable enough, and I was kind of thinking like I would go through the second playthrough in New Game Plus.
Yeah.
But then I just feel like, why? Why would I spend more hours if I already got all the achievements and went through the New Game Plus? Which is why I just kind of dropped out of it and just wait until it gets updated. In fact, many of the people who was like really enthusiastic about Starfield and playing it, many of them dropped out even before they start to reach level 100 and would rather wait for the DLC to come anyway. So it just pretty much explains about Starfield being Marmite, like you said.
Well, I haven't reached level 100 and I'm probably not going to go back to it until the DLC hits now, to be honest, unless I'm like... I have a dry period of like 2 or 3 months when there's no good games to play. I'll come back and just farm and try and get to level 100. But
yeah,
I think I kind of agree with that. I say I have abandoned it. It's still my most played game of last year, and I got over 200 hours into it, and I got all the side quests and all that. But it's just I get what you're saying completely though. I get all the criticisms. But I love it anyway, and it's still my second. It's still my number two. Speaking of number twos, that's a really terrible transition. I'm sorry. I've done the calculations, and surprisingly, there's no ties this year, which is really interesting. We have a top 7 games from our combined list. So shall I crack it on? I've done all the maths.
Yeah, go ahead.
Done all the brain maths things. Okay, so our number 7, Street Fighter 6, with 1 point, because it was your number 5.
Yay!
Number 6, Resident Evil 4 Remake! Because I had 2 points, so there you go, because that was my number 4. Number 5 is Super Mario Wonder! Yahoo! With 3 points. Number 4 is Starfield with 4 points. Now we get into...
Definitely deserves that spot.
Oh, damn! Right, and now we got into our actual combat, because those are basically... ones we only had one vote each from each of us, but Starfield is considerably higher than anything you put separately. Okay, now a combined. These are three games that have all got combined scores. At number three, Baldur's Gate 3 with 5 points. Could be a lot higher if we ask this again next month, but it's number three at the moment. Congratulations, Baldur's Gate, for being out a week and already getting into our top three games of the year. It's pretty impressive. Number two is The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom with 7 points. And the game of the year, according to X Marks the Box, is Hi-Fi Rush with a total of 8 points. 5 points from Alice, 3 points from me, equaling 8 total, which means it is our game of the year. Congratulations to Hi-Fi Rush. Commiserations to Zelda, Baldur's Gate and Starfield and Mario Wonder, Resident Evil and all that. But all really good games. But Hi-Fi Rush is the game of the year, shockingly. But I like it. I like it. It's one of those, it's kind of an upset, but I love it. I love it. It's a, oh, I love it.
Well, I did consider putting Baldur's Gate 3 at the top, because if I did and had my game of the year,
yeah,
then we could have ended up with a tie.
Yes, we would have had a tie between Zelda and Hi-Fi Rush, and Baldur's Gate would have still been third, but it would have been 1 point behind the two of them. Like, oh. Or I could have put it at number four. We'll never know. I think in a later date, it might be my number four or three game of the year, or even number two. I don't think Baldur's Gate will ever take over Zelda, because I think Zelda is like my favorite game ever. But it could definitely get my top. It could definitely get number two if it's as good as I think it's going to be going forward, for sure. But yeah, Hi-Fi Rush, I think that's a cool number one for us. I think that's awesome, because it's not something we suspected to win the game of the year, but because we both like it and it was both high on our lists, it did well. So yay, I like that. That's a nice number one. I like that. No game.
Also, it's an Xbox game, because it's by Bethesda, which is owned by Microsoft, and it also gets number one, which makes sense for the Xbox podcast. So there you go.
Yeah, Zelda's being a Nintendo game would have made less sense, I suppose. Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about last year when we picked Elden Ring and, of course, Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yeah.
Considering that Xbox has got a dry autumn year.
Yeah.
Autumn part of this 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Next year is going to be insane, though, for Xbox. There's so many games announced already for next year, so I can't wait. And we will probably be doing a draft for next year at some point. We're not sure. We haven't arranged that yet, but that's probably something we're going to hopefully do, and hopefully try and get a PlayStation guy on there as well to spice it up this year. And we're currently tying on the Fantasy League as well, so I think that's probably going to end up staying that way. But yeah, this is the final episode of X Marks the Box for 2023. Hi-Fi Rush wins our prestigious Game of the Year. Congratulations, Hi-Fi Rush. If you want to check out what the community game of the year was, check out last week's episode, which is our top our Xbox The Box Awards. Thank you guys for watching us. We really appreciate it. Thank you for like supporting the channel. We're still a small channel, but we really appreciate everyone you've subscribed and commented and liked. And we really appreciate it. And thank you for your feedback and for listening. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up, Alice?
That's all.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for listening. Comment, like, subscribe, and until next time, Hi-Fi Rush, baby. Yeah!
Take care.
Bye! Thank you for listening to the X Marks the Box podcast. Follow us at X Marks Box on Twitter or X Marks the Box on YouTube. And follow us on all audio podcast services. Thanks for listening.